My name is Ben Bailey. We're so glad that you've joined us for our broadcast today.
One of the strongest passages about the old law being taken away is found in the old law itself. Did you know the Old Testament prophesied that it would one day be replaced? Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34, Jeremiah said, "The days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the commandment I made with them when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt," the commandment at Exodus 20. He says, "My commandment I shall write on their hearts and their minds." Friend, the very fact that God under the old law said, "I'm going to make a new commandment," teaches that the first is old and is not for us today. That's what Hebrews 8, verse 13 says. In that He says a new covenant. He's made the first obsolete, that which is becoming obsolete and growing old. The Hebrew writer said it's ready to vanish away. At what point did it stop? Did it vanish away? Hebrews 9, verses 15 through 17 teaches us that a law goes into effect after men are dead. Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant. When He died on the cross, from that time on, men were living under the new law. And so make it clear in your mind. People cannot be saved by the law of Moses. That's not how God is dealing with people in a covenant relationship today. Now, as He brings this into chapter 4, Paul is going to show that faith, God has always been pleased with people of faith, not people who base their faith or their belief off some meritorious system of work. You can't do enough good works. You can't keep enough codes of the law. You can't bring enough sacrifices, God is going to say, to inherit salvation. It's always, from Genesis to Revelation, God has always been pleased with people of faith, not people of meritorious works. That's the point of Romans chapter 4. And He's going to illustrate this by showing, was Abraham justified by faith in God without the law of Moses? What do you think about that? He draws up Abraham. Abraham, was he justified by faith without the law of Moses? Well, Abraham lived in the time of Genesis 15 following, and the law of Moses didn't come to Exodus chapter 20, and yet this great hero of the faith, he wasn't even under the law of Moses. And yet you're trying to say men have to be justified under the law of Moses? Well, what about this? Was Abraham justified by faith in God before and without circumcision? The great verse, Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to righteousness, was before he was circumcised and before circumcision was even brought in. Abraham was righteous in God's sight before circumcision was even created. And so his point is this. A man today can be justified by faith in the gospel of Christ without Moses, without circumcision, and without meritorious works that people are trying to do to earn their salvation. Now, as Paul discusses this in Romans 4, we're going to see that in the Scripture, there's not one shred of difference between true faith and obedience in God. Notice Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Paul says, "What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. But what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." Abraham can't say, "Well, I was circumcised, or I kept the Ten Commandments, or I did all these sacrifices." His faith was an obedient type of faith, but it wasn't where he could look up to heaven and say, "Well, I've earned salvation." Friend, there are different types of works in the Bible. There are meritorious works, which the Jews thought just because they were children of Abraham and they'd kept the law, they were going to go to heaven automatically. That won't ever save anybody. You can't do enough good deeds to be righteous in God's sight apart from the gospel. But then there are conditional works. There are things that man must do to be right with God. Jesus said so, for He says, not everybody just said, "Lord, Lord," that's going to heaven, but he who does the will of the Father. Now, here's the question. What type of faith did Abraham have? Abraham had a faith that trusted God and absolutely kept the conditions of God. How do we know that? Genesis chapter 26 and verse 5 illustrates this point so clearly. I want you to notice what the Scripture says in Genesis chapter 26 and verse 5 about this great man of whom it was said, Abraham believed God, it was counted for righteousness. Notice this statement, Genesis 26, 5. The Bible says, God speaking, because, here's the reason Abraham was righteous, because Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, kept my commandments, kept my statutes, and kept my laws. That's why God referred to this man as a man of faith. It wasn't because Abraham just said, well, God said it, and even though I don't have any evidence or I'm not going to do anything, I believe him. That's not what he's talking about. He obeyed my commands. He kept my law, kept my commandments. He was a man who trusted God fully. He was convicted there was a God, and he was going to follow him, and his faith was such. When God said it, he was willing to go out and do it. And friend, that's the type of faith we're talking about. Martin Luther, as he studied Romans 4 and 5, came away with the idea that faith only is all we need. All we've got to do is believe and accept Jesus. We'll be all right. You can see that's not what's taught here. That's not the way Abraham felt. That's not the way he acted. And friend, let me illustrate for you from John chapter 6 and verse 36 that Jesus and the writers of the New Testament realized faith and obedience were synonyms. John chapter 6 and verse 36 in the English Standard Version and in New American Standard Version says this. Notice what the Scripture says. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him. That's John chapter 3, verse 36. Now, notice the parallel. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and the synonym, not believe again, he who does not obey the Son does not have everlasting life. And so from the Scripture you learn that believe and obey, they're used synonymously because true faith is not a dead faith, it's a faith that gets out and does what God says. Now in Romans 4 verses 5 through 8, the writer is going to bring up a passage David quotes from the Psalms to show that the imputing or the taking away of sin was not based on the law, it was rather based on men being right in God's sight through faith. You can't say enough Hail Marys, you can't pay enough money to have your sins taken away. Sins are not forgiven on the basis of meritorious works. They're forgiven on the basis of man obeying the will of God and putting faith in Him. Then in the rest of the chapter, in Romans chapter 4, verses 13 through 25, the Apostle Paul is going to spend a great deal of time showing that Abraham, he received the promise through faith. And if we're going to receive the promise of eternal life, we also have to receive it through faith. Kind of as a summary statement, notice what is written in Romans chapter 4 and verse 13. The Bible says, "For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law," but watch this, "but through the righteousness of faith." Remember that type of faith. Genesis 26, verse 5, Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my commandments, my laws, my charges. That's the type of faith God's talking about. It wasn't because they kept a code of the law. Did they have to obey God's will? Absolutely. But those meritorious deeds did not earn salvation. Rather, their obedient trust. They heard the Word of God, they accepted that, and they were willing to get out and do what God said. That's how they received the promise. And friend, that's exactly how people are going to receive the promise of salvation today. What is a true type of faith that God is pleased with? The Bible teaches that a true type of faith is one that hears the Word of God. Romans 10 verse 17 says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." We recognize that God's voice is the only one that matters on salvation. In the presence of Jesus, Peter was told in Matthew 17, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him." We hear that the voice of God is the only way we can be saved. Then, we're willing to believe that Jesus is the Christ. He's the Savior of the world. John 8 and verse 24, Jesus said, "Unless you believe that I'm He, that I'm the Savior, you'll die in your sins." The Ethiopian eunuch was traveling down the road. Peter or Philip was preaching to him. He evidently taught him about Jesus and baptism, and so they approached some water, and he said, "Hey, here's water. You've been telling me about it. What's hindering me from being baptized?" And do you remember? "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And so true faith believes in Jesus, but doesn't stop there. Remember James 2:24? The Bible says faith that is just faith only, God's never pleased with that. Man is justified by works and not by faith only. And so I must also be willing to repent. The Bible says in Luke 13:3, "Unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish." Peter preached in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, "Repent and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out." That's what repentance is. Repentance is a changed will that leads to a changed way of life. I listen to the Word of God. I decide to do what it says. I change my will, and then I follow that truth. True faith follows that out by doing what God wants him to. Then I must be willing to confess Jesus as God's Son. Romans 10, verse 10, the Bible says, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." I've got to make the good confession as the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts 8, verse 37. He said, "I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." And we too must make that confession. It's essential. For Jesus said in Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33, "If you won't confess me before men, neither will I confess you before the Father who is in heaven. But if you will confess me before men, I'll also confess you before the Father who is in heaven." But friend, realize also that true faith demands that I obey God in baptism. Not only do I hear the Word, not only do I believe in Jesus, repent of sin, and confess His name, but friend, you cannot have biblical faith without obeying God in baptism. You can't be a Christian without being immersed for the remission of your sins. The Bible says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, when they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Here's the answer. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." I'm reminded of what Paul was told in Acts 22:16. "Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." What's the purpose of baptism? It's for the remission of sins. It is to wash away sins. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, "He that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that believes not will be condemned." It's for salvation. 1 Peter 3 and verse 21 uses that exact language. Baptism does now also save us. It's what puts one into the kingdom of God. John 3 verse 5, Jesus said, "Unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God." It's essential to salvation. Now, ask yourself this. Our modern religious world says all you've got to do to be saved is just accept Jesus. Is that real faith? Can Jesus command you to do something that's essential for salvation, like baptism, Mark 16, verse 16, and you not do that for the right reason, and somehow still be a person of faith? Not so. The Bible teaches that true people of faith are people who follow their beliefs up with their actions and do what God says. And so in Romans 3, we are clearly taught, Romans 3 and 4, that all people have sinned. That means me, that means you, that means anybody outside of Jesus who's ever lived. Friend, if you've never obeyed the gospel, we want you to know this morning, because we're concerned for your soul, that you're in sin, and that if you don't become a child of God, you'll be lost. We don't want that. God doesn't want that. Nobody does. God wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. But, listen also now, you can be saved from that sin by obeying the gospel, just as you've heard today. Just as Abraham believed God, did what he said, and it was accounted him to righteousness, you believe God. You do exactly what he says, and you can be sure that you're right in the sight of God. The Bible says in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Friend, won't you obey the gospel today? We love you. We want you to go to heaven. God loves you. He wants you to be saved. Don't spurn it. Obey the gospel of Christ before it's too late.